الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الله سبحانه وتعالى has said in the Quran that Ramadan is the month of taqwa. It's the month in which a believer is supposed to get taqwa with Allah سبحانه وتعالى. And then throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned different aspects of taqwa. And one way to look at Ramadan is to look at all the different things mentioned about taqwa and see how we can increase in them. And ideally, we should try to increase in all of them. And if you can't, then at least to try to pick some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran as being linked to taqwa and increasing those things. And in one ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, which I recited at the beginning, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, that all those people who believe, all those who profess to believe with your tongue and aspire to believe with your heart. In order for us to understand this ayah, it's important that for a believer, if you ask any believer that do you want to become a friend of Allah, he will say yes. Do you want to become the beloved of Allah? Yes. You want to become the lover of Allah? Yes. No matter how distant that person would be, no matter how far that person would be, how heedless that person is, but if he's a believer and if you ask this question, he will say that yes, I want to, it's my wish and my desire to become a friend of Allah, someone near and dear to Allah. And then what happens at that time is shaitan, he makes a person despair, that look at you, you're so bad. How can you become a friend of Allah? How can you attain intimacy with Allah? And this is a very big deception of shaitan, because in this one ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that we should become his friend, we should become people who are close to him, who love him. In that very same ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has given us an easy way to become his friend. And that is this very ayah, which begins by this address that, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, that all those who profess to believe, those who are believers, those who profess to believe with your tongue and now aspire to believe with your heart, ittaqullah, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he deserves to be feared, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he deserves to be loved, know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he deserves to be known, value Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he deserves to be valued, ittaqullah. And a person, a believer, might respond that, Ya Allah, I'm living in such a difficult time, I'm living so far away from the zaman of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My nafs is with me, shaitan is all over me. There is the attraction, the addictions of the society and people and dunya and makhluk and my own laziness and my own ghafla. Allah, what chance do I have that I can become someone who is muttaqi? I can become someone who is righteous and pious. What chance do I have living in such circumstances that I can also love you as you deserve to be loved? Allah says in the very next part, Allah says, Allah gives us an easy way, a prescription. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. That the way to become that muttaqi person, is Allah Ta'ala mentioning in the Quran, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, that simply puts yourself in the company of those who are sadiqeen. Those people who are truer than you in the relationship with Allah, the sadiqeen, put yourself in their company. It doesn't even say that you obey them or follow them. Simply just be with them, attach yourself with them. And by the barakah of their company and by putting yourself in their company, automatically la shuuri torpe, without feeling it, without deliberately doing any action, you will feel a change in your heart. And you will automatically be able to feel that muhabba, that love in your heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will become amongst the muttaqeen, amongst those who ittaqullah, who have this taqwa in their heart. Just simply associating yourself with them and placing yourself in their company will make you amongst the muttaqeen. That is the way to get taqwa. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. This is the Quranic way, the prescription that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran. And what this means is, if you reflect on the words وَكُونُوا, that we put our hearts in the presence of those people who are truer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ than we are. Sadiqeen. Sadiq means truth. It's a perfect word. And if we ask ourselves that, am I a true mu'min? Am I true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I true to my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Am I true to my iman? Am I true to myself? If we ask this, perhaps many of us will find that the answer, maybe to one or some or all of those questions, will be no. That I'm not a sadiq. I'm not a true mu'min. I'm an untrue, I'm a fake, I'm a false mu'min. I'm untrue in my relationship to Allah. I'm certainly not true in my relationship with the Prophet ﷺ. I've not been true to my iman. I've not been true to myself. So this word that Allah is using, Sidq in Arabic, means this, truth. Truthful. And that is why you have this word, the Prophet ﷺ, he was known as As-Sadiq Al-Amin, truthful one. And then the Sahaba, and one of the greatest Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was given this title, this laqab, Siddiq. Siddiq in Arabic is actually more than Sadiq. Siddiq means the absolute epitome of the Siddiq. True means one of the truest followers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the truest embodiments of the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The truest incarnation of the deen of Islam, he was As-Siddiq, Siddiq Akbar. And now if we use that as the criteria, that is what Siddiq means. And then if we compare ourselves to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, we realize that we are very untrue. If that is the definition of truth, then me and you, we are pure falsehood. Not, you know, slight falsehood, right? We don't even have an approximation of what they had. So, and this is the mercy of the Quran, that in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a command, but also sometimes Allah follows that command with an easy way, with an easy way to get some blessing. So the easy way to get taqwa mentioned by Allah in the Quran is وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Simply sit with the people who are truer than you. Simply put yourself in their company. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said in the Quran that obey the sadiqeen, or do ittiba of the sadiqeen, or follow the sadiqeen, or emulate the sadiqeen. No, just said simply, kunu ma'a sadiqeen. Just join your being with their being. Put yourself in their presence. That's going to be enough. And why will that be enough? The Sahaba, they are known as Sahaba. Why? Because the Sahaba, that's the plural of Sahib. Sahib is the person who gets the Sohba, means he is the companion. The person who gets the company of the Prophet ﷺ. Obviously, there were people of Ittiba. They could have been known as the Muttabi'un. There were people who obeyed the Prophet ﷺ. They could have been known as the Muti'un. They were the first Muslims. They could have been known as the Awwalun. Many other names could have been there in theory. But everyone knows them by their unique distinguishing feature, which is that they were the Sahaba. They got the Suhba of the Prophet ﷺ. They were those who spent time in the company of the Prophet ﷺ. Those who put their heart in the company of the Prophet ﷺ while in a state of Iman. So the Prophet ﷺ was the ultimate insan, the ultimate model. He was the ultimate tutor of humanity. That is a Nabi. That is who a Nabi is. And then after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, the Sahaba, they became tutors for all the Ummah. And only a Nabi, he has the distinction of being the tutor for the entire Ummah. And then after the Prophet ﷺ passed away, there were different Sahaba who became different tutors for groups of Tabi'in. So if you look at this, there was no single Sahaba who was responsible for the tutoring of all the Tabi'in. There were many Sahaba who became tutors. You had Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, some this, some that, different areas. And then the age of the Sahaba Ikram ended. The most golden age on earth was the age of the Sahaba that ended. And that was followed by the age of the Tabi'in, their followers. And then you had the Tabi' Tabi'in, the followers of the followers. So this is how the early Muslims did Amal on this verse. If they were the Sahaba, they put themselves in the presence of the one master tutor, the Prophet ﷺ. If they were the Tabi'in, they put themselves in the presence of some Sahaba, some people who were the Sahaba. If they were the Tabi' Tabi'in, they put themselves in the company, in the presence of some Tabi'in. And this has continued in an unbroken chain up till today. This has continued in an unbroken chain of practice in the Ummah till this very day. There are some people who put themselves in the presence of a tutor, someone they believe to be truer than themselves to Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ. This is called Sohbat. The Sohbat did not end with the Sahaba. Sohbat began with the Sahaba. Just like the Sahaba, they reached the highest level of taqwa due to their sohba with the Prophet ﷺ. Just like the Tabi'in, they reached the highest level of taqwa due to their sohba with whichever Sahabi they kept company with. And the Tabi' Tabi'in, they got their taqwa by keeping the sohba of whichever Tabi'in they kept company with. And we also, in this day and age, we can increase our taqwa, get this ni'mat of taqwa by putting ourselves in the sohbat of someone. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, it's a universal hukum. Each hukum of Quran is universal. It's for the entire ummah, for the entire history of humanity, till Yawm al-Qiyamah. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this Quran, in the Quran, in this verse, that ittaqullah, become a person of taqwa, get taqwa for me, wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen, and put yourself in the company of the sadiqeen, that means this ayah, this verse, it applies to us personally. We need to think how to do amal on this verse. And this ayah, since this ayah will be practicable, this will be qabili amal till the very end. This ayah then tells us that there will be a category of people who are the sadiqeen. For us to be able to do amal on this ayah, necessarily there have to be some people who are the sadiqeen, so that then we can do kunu ma'a, we can put ourselves in their company. So for the past several days, we were thinking and we were looking at those verses in the Quran, those things that were obstacles between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spoke about shaitan and nafs and the dunya and the makhluk and then ghafla. And now we want to look at those things mentioned in the Quran that will bring us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first thing is this sohbat of sadiqeen. Like we say sometimes that if you want to get milk, you get it from the person who sells milk, dudwala. If you want to get vegetables, you get it from a person who sells vegetables, sabziwala. If you want to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get it from people of Allah, the ahlullah, the rijalullah. The taluk of Allah, the relationship with Allah, how to get it. To sit in the company of the people who have this taluk. And this is not me saying this. This is the dua that the Prophet ﷺ has taught us. A sound dua that the Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma, make this dua. Allahumma, inni as'aluka hubbuk. That, oh Allah, I ask you to increase me in my love for you. And that's the dua which many of us we make, that Allah increase us in our love for you. But the dua did not end there. The Prophet ﷺ added something else to that dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbuk wa hubba man yuhibbuk. That Allah, I ask you to increase me in the love for those people who love you. This is the Prophet ﷺ making, teaching us a dua. That ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his love and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase you in the love for those whom he loves. Number one is direct. Allah, I want you to increase my heart in a love for you. And second is that maybe I won't be able to get that on my own. Maybe my heart is not pure enough for such a blessing at this stage. So maybe I need to ride on the waves of someone. So this is the dua. Make me love those who love you. And this is how it works. That maybe you will accept my love for them that I have for your sake. I love them, lilla, billa, filla, for your sake. And then you will put in my heart some of that love that they have for you. So our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases by just keeping ourselves in the company of the pious. One may, you know, I don't have my fire. I don't have my own fire. This fire of the hararat, of the muhabba of Allah. But if I stay by the fire, if I stay long enough by the fire, I will keep myself warm. And maybe someday Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will light the fire in my heart. That's the hadith. That's what the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us. In fact, there is other hadith that on the day of judgment, when there will be no shade except for the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be seven people who will be granted the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of them will be al-mutahabuna fillah. Those individuals, those two people who met each other for the sake of Allah, who loved each other for the sake of Allah, who parted for the sake of Allah, their whole relationship had to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any person who has such a relationship, they will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to a sahih hadith. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, that man ahabba lillah, whoever loves someone for the sake of Allah, wa abghaza lillah, and who has enmity also for the sake of Allah, then that person, qad istakmala imana, he has completed and perfected his iman. That person who loves for the sake of Allah, that person who has enmity for the sake of Allah, who gives for the sake of Allah, who withholds for the sake of Allah, he has perfected his iman. Such a person has tasted the zaika of iman, the sweetness of iman. We don't have to look too far to understand the benefit of the company of the pious. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed a surah, Surah Kahf. In that story, there is some group of young men, pious men who wanted to save their iman. Pious young men, in order to save their iman, they sought a refuge in a cave. Where Allah says, we don't know how many they were. Allah, you know, whether they were four or five or six or seven, we don't know their numbers. We know that in order to save their iman, they sought a refuge in a cave. And when they went inside that cave, there was a dog that came by. وَقَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ زِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَسِيدِ That dog followed them, took their company, and went with them and stayed there at the mouth of the cave. This dog, he acquired the company of those pious young men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this amal, this action of the dog so much that in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done tazkira of that dog. And then the Mufassirin have mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them to sleep. And all of them, they went to sleep. Now this was not a sleep for one day or for 1 week or for 1 month. They slept for many years, for more than 300 years. They were put to sleep. And naturally, when you're sleeping for such a long time, then if you're sleeping on one side, that side can easily be eroded away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to do hifaza, in order to preserve and protect their jism, He would send angels from the sky who periodically, they would change the side of these Ashab-e Kahf. They would change the karvat of the people of Kahf. And the Mufassirin have mentioned that when these angels, they would descend from the sky to change the side, change the karvat of the people of Kahf, they would also change the karvat, the side of the dog of Ashab-e Kahf. Allahu Akbar. This dog, what kind of an animal is this? In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that if this dog eats from one of your utensils, that utensil becomes impure, you should purify it. You should purify it 7 times with water, and the 8th time you should purify it with sand. That's the level of najasat or impurity. And that same dog, if it puts itself in the company of the pious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing and sending angels from the sky, from the arsh to the farsh, in order to change the karvat of that dog. So when a person associates, when a person puts themselves in the company of the pious, they get barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanAllah, there's another hadith. There are a group of Sahaba ikram who were sitting with the Prophet ﷺ. And the Sahaba were thinking people. And one teaching they had heard from the Prophet ﷺ was that Jannat has levels. Jannat has 7 levels. Or multiple levels. And the only slight regret or wish of the people of Jannah will be that I wish I had done more and reached a higher level. Even saying one subhanAllah will bring you up a notch, up a level among those levels in Jannah. It comes in a hadith that a person will have hasrat that I said one more subhanAllah in my life, so I would have, my level would have increased. Today we can say subhanAllah, subhanAllah wa bihamdihi, subhanAllah al-azim. We should say this frequently. Increase our levels in Jannah, ranks in Jannah. So in any way, when the Sahaba Akram, they realize this, that if Jannat has levels, number one, and the people will get the Jannah according to their stature, then the Prophet ﷺ will be in a level of Jannah all on his own. Because nobody can reach that level of the Prophet ﷺ. So some Sahaba, they were discussing this and they started crying. They said that in this dunya, we have the sohbat of the Prophet ﷺ. What kind of a Jannah is this? That the Prophet ﷺ is at another level and we will be at another level. So they started crying. And the Prophet ﷺ asked that, why are you crying? And they said that you will be at someplace else according to your daraja, according to your rank. And we will be someplace else altogether. So we will be separated from you for all of eternity. So we are thinking that for us, you know, this dunya is better than Jannah. At least we get to be with you in your company here. And then the Prophet ﷺ said one of the most famous hadiths. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. That a person will be with whom he loves. And Sahaba Ikram, they narrate that that was the happiest day of our life. That's the power of muhabbat. That's the power of love. Muhabbat leads to ma'iyat. Love leads to togetherness, to companionship, to intimacy. that person who has the muhabbat for the Prophet will be together with him in Jannatul Firdaus, will be together with him for all of eternity. That person who has the muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be together with Allah for all of eternity. That's what Allah is saying in the Quran. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. That Allah is with you wherever you are. Allah gives His ma'iyya, His intimacy, His companionship, that He is with you wherever you may be. This is sohbah. This is muhabbah. And this is something that we have lost. We have a very dry Islam. Some people say khush Islam, akli Islam. That someone, you know, should say stuff that should bedazzle my akal and bedazzle my brain. Someone should tell me the logic behind Sharia. Someone came to a teacher and said that, explain to me, and he asked her some masla question. And he told him that this is the answer. He said, no. But according to logic, this should be the answer. So the teacher then explained that the logic to him also. And then he got really happy. And the teacher says, I got really parishan and sad. The student is very happy and the teacher is very parishan. He's very sad. Why is the teacher sad? Because the teacher explained to him the logic and he obeyed it. When I said, Qala Allah, that Allah says, the student, he did not listen. When I said, Qala Rasulullah, that the Prophet said this, that did not have an effect. And when I explained the logic says this, akal says this, he immediately decided to obey. And not just obeyed, but started praising that you explained so well and this and that and the other. This is ajeeb Islam, khushk Islam, akli Islam. Right? They want to follow logical explanations. Not interested in what Allah says. Not interested in what the Prophet says. Want to follow logic. If you explain logic, then they praise you. But we have to, this is khushk Islam. This is dry Islam. And this is dry because we have lost that sohbah. That moment who loses that sohbah, who loses that tradition of muhabbah, that tradition of love, then we are, you know, they're left with a dry Islam. And alhamdulillah, if you look at the early Muslims, the early history of Muslims, it was all about sohbat and all about muhabbat. No matter who you look at, all of them were lovers. All of them. This love was something that was common. Otherwise, a very different mizaj of the Sahaba. Different, some are, you know, in the battlefield, some are looking at Hadith, some at Quran, some are looking at the administrative affairs of Madinah Tayyibah. Different mizaj and temperament and speciality. But the one thing that was common was muhabba and sohbah. And what do you get from this sohbah? You get taqwa. You don't get some feel-good love. That's not what we're talking about. Some feel-good emotion, some feel-good feeling. This is taqwa. Sohbat will get you, will lead you towards taqwa. Sohbat plus muhabbat equals taqwa. So that's why the Sahaba Ikram, they were very happy. Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. That a person will be with whom they love. And that's why muhaddithin, they have done a lot of ihtimam of this hadith. Every muhaddith, every hadith scholar, they love to put this in this work, in their work. So it shows you the benefit of this tradition of muhabbah. Now, how many of us can say, actually, let me give you another, there are actually, the scholars have mentioned that actually six things that a person gets. Some people ask that what's the benefit of sitting with the people who are righteous, people who are pious. Sitting with their company will take us from six things to six things, from six bad things to six good things. Number one, it will take us from shak to yakin. From doubt to certainty. Number two, it will take us from riya to ikhlas. from doing things for ostentation, for show, for riyah, to doing things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, sincerely and purely for Allah, ikhlas. Min al-ghaflati ila dhikri. It's going to take a person from heedlessness, from ghafla, to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, min al-raghbati fi dunya ila raghbati fil akhirah. It's going to take a person from desiring this worldly dunya, from this dunya, to desiring the akhirah. Having raghbat and desire and inclination and yearning for the akhirah. Number five, min al-kibri ila tawadhu. It will take a person from arrogance towards humility, towards tawadhu. And number six, finally, it will take a person from bad internal nature towards a character which is good. A good character, a person who has good intentions for other people around him. This is the barakah of sohbah. This is what happened to the Sahaba Ikram when they put themselves in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, whose heart was pure. As a result, those around him, they were also able to purify their heart through keeping company. They got yaqeen, ikhlas, zikr. They got this awareness and raghba for akhirah. They acquired humility and they acquired the best of characters by keeping the company. And that silsila of sohba doesn't end with the sahaba. It starts with the sahaba and continues up till this very day. Because this ayat of the Quran is telling us, وَكُونُوا مَا الصَّادِقِينَ, that put yourself in the company of the pious. Hazrat Luqman alayhi salatu wassalam, in one of his nasiha, he said to his son that keep the company of the ulama, keep the company of those who have knowledge and who act according to their knowledge. Sit with them because they are like rain that brings about water to revive your dead heart. Just like rain revives the dead and barren earth, these people, the Siddiqeen, the pious and the righteous, they will revive the earth of our hearts. They will revive the deen in our dead and barren hearts. They will bring that to life. So this is the benefit of this tradition of sohba and muhabba. How many of us can say that we have such amal and actions that on the basis of those amal and ibadah, we can be with the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah? We can't say that. How many of us can say that we have the real true muhabba for the Prophet ﷺ in our heart? Very few of us can claim that. Many of us, we don't have that true muhabba for the Prophet ﷺ. But this hadith, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, this is continuous. So if I love someone, I get to be with them. They love someone, they are with them, and I get to be with them. They love someone, going all the way back to the Sahaba. So if I love someone, who loves someone, who was a Tabi'i, who loved Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the silsilatul muhabbah. This is the silsilatul suhbah. This is a chain. Silsila means a chain. It's a chain of love. Any link in that chain, when you attach to that chain, this is going to take you to that same place as the very first link goes. Or if you want to think of another word, it's like a train. In the train, there is an engine. That's the Prophet ﷺ. Then you have the first class compartment, the Sahaba Ikram. Then the next cabin, Tabi'een. Then the next cabin, Tabi' Tabi'een. And you keep going all the way back. Anyone who attaches themselves to this train, wherever the engine goes, they will also go. Same destination. We are like the cargo class, right? Or maybe like the bathroom seat, seats 2C or 1A. That's our level. But if you're attached to the train, we will go exactly where the engine goes. Wherever the first class compartment goes and lands, the last compartment will also land there. So this is the deen, people keeping sohba of someone who kept sohba of someone all the way back to the Prophet. So Allah Ta'ala is saying in this ayat of the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ittaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. What is the relationship here between this muhabbat and taqwa? Why would this muhabba lead, or this sohba lead to taqwa? What's the rabt? What's the connection? It's very simple. When you have muhabba for anyone or any being, you always want to do two things. There's an Arabic proverb that al-muhibbu liman ahabba muti'un, that the lover always listens to his beloved. So taqwa, not taqwa, means that you stay away from those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want you to do. That's taqwa. Stay away from those things that the Prophet ﷺ does not want you to do. And our problem in being able to reach this taqwa is that we don't have that muhabba. And when you get that muhabba, then you want to obey. Then you want to listen to whom you have muhabba for. That's the nature of love. Lover always listens to his beloved. Lover always then follows what his beloved tells him to do. And the second thing about muhabba and a lover-beloved relationship is that every lover, they want to make their, every lover wants to make themselves pleasing to their beloved. Every lover wants to become the beloved of their beloved. They have now a greater motivation. So in this day and age, without muhabba, difficult for a person to reach taqwa. Without muhabbat for Allah, without muhabbat for the Prophet ﷺ, difficult to attain that level of taqwa where a person can stay away from those things which are disliked by Allah. And if you look at, again, the early history of Islam, for the lovers of Allah and the Prophet ﷺ, it was very easy for them. They had the love for Allah. That was their fuel. That was the fuel in their tank. You know, the real difference between us and the early Muslims is not about our zamana or society or culture. It's about this. They had love for Allah Ta'ala in their heart. That's why everything else fell into place for them. And we don't have that same love, or that same shiddat of love. We have good bodies, but we don't have that fuel. We can have a Mercedes Benz or a BMW, but without no fuel, with no fuel, it's not going to go anywhere. This muhabbat is the fuel for iman. That person who gets this muhabbat, this hararat, this harkat, they fly on taqwa. They fly. Taqwa is easier for them when muhabbat for Allah comes in our hearts. And the easiest way to get muhabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have muhabba for the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lillah fillah billah. To have muhabbat for them in the name of Allah, for the sake of Allah. And this is actually part and parcel of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet ﷺ has taught us in this dua. That, O Allah, increase me in my love for you and in my love for those people who love you. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak wa hubba man yuhibbuk. Through Allah, may Allah Ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to become people of muhabba, to become people of sohba, to become people of love and good company. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to increase our sohba and muhabba in this month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to bring us to more and more and more taqwa in this month of Ramadan. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العلي الوهاب، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك. يا الله يا رب كريم، ہم آپ کے عاجز مسکین سے بندے ہیں، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما، اللہ ہمارے عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما. یا رب کریم جو گناہ یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما، اللہ جو گناہ کر کے بھول گئے اللہ ان کو بھی معاف فرما. یا رب کریم رمضان المبارک کا مبارک مہینہ ہے، اللہ ہماری کامل مغفرت فرما، اللہ ہمیں معصیت کی گناہوں کی ذلت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، ہمیں اطاعت کی عزت نصیب فرما. اللہ گناہوں کو ہمارے نام اعمال سے مٹا دیجئے. یا اللہ ہمارے حسنات کو قبول فرما، ہماری نمازوں کو قبول فرما، روزوں کو قبول فرما، تراویح کو قبول فرما، تلاوت کو قبول فرما، ہمارے ذکر کو قبول فرما، ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہماری صحت میں برکت عطا فرما، علم اور عمل میں برکت عطا فرما، ہمارے اولاد میں برکت عطا فرما، کاموں میں برکت عطا فرما، اللہ دین دنیا میں برکت عطا فرما، برکتوں بھری زندگی نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما، قدم قدم پہ اپنی برکتیں شامل حال فرما، کبھی بھی بے سہارا نہ فرما، کبھی بھی بے آسرا نہ فرما، کبھی بھی اپنے در سے دور نہ فرما، اللہ کبھی بھی نفس و شیطان کے حوالے نہ فرما، ہمیشہ اپنی پشت پناہی نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہماری تمام بیماریوں کو دور فرما، جسمانی بیماریوں کو دور فرما، روحانی بیماریوں کو دور فرما، علم حاصل ہونے کے بعد جہالت کے کاموں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، اللہ اپنا قرب کے بعد دوری سے ہماری حفاظت فرما، اللہ ہدایت کے بعد گمراہی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم اللہ بہت تمنائیں لے کے آئے ہیں، اللہ یہ مہینہ شروع ہوتا ہے، پورے سال انتظار ہوتا ہے کہ یہ مہینہ آئے گا، ہم اس میں یہ بھی دعائیں مانگیں گے، یہ بھی دعائیں مانگیں گے. یا رب کریم اللہ دن گزرتے چلے جا رہے ہیں، یا رب کریم رحمت والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمیں اپنی توبہ کو کامل بنا دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہمیں خیر عطا فرما، ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما، اللہ اپنی رحمت والا معاملہ فرما، اللہ ہماری امیدوں کو پورا فرما دیجئے، ہمارے دل کی نیک تمناؤں کو پورا فرما، نیک جذبات اور دعاؤں کو پورا فرما. یا رب کریم ہم اپنے گھر سے خالی ہاتھ نہ لوٹا، اللہ ہم پر مہربانی فرما دیجئے، خیر فرما دیجئے، اللہ رحمت فرما دیجئے. یا اللہ کریم تو ذات ہوتی ہے، اللہ کریم کے در سے خالی اٹھتے شرم آتے ہیں، یا رب کریم آپ کے در پہ ہیں، اللہ خالی اٹھتے ہمیں شرم آتی ہے. یا رب کریم مہربانی کا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، ہماری جھولیوں کو اللہ اپنی رحمت سے بھر دیجئے. اللہ ہم نے دیکھا ہے کہ رمضان میں جب فقیر ہوتا ہے گھر سے نکلتا ہے کہ بچوں میں تمہارے لیے کچھ نہ کچھ لے کر ضرور آؤں گا، رمضان کا مہینہ ہے، خالی ہاتھ نہیں آ سکتا. اللہ رمضان کے فقیر کو اتنی امید ہوتی ہے، اللہ ہم بھی رمضان کے فقیر ہیں، اللہ رحمت فرما دیجئے، اللہ مہربانی فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہم بھی امید لے کر بیٹھے ہیں، اللہ ہم رمضان کے فقیروں پر بھی رحمت فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہماری جھولیوں کو اپنی رحمت سے بھر دیجئے، ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما لیجئے، اللہ ہماری بخشش کامل بخشش فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمیں برکت نصیب فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم اپنی محبت عطا فرما، اللہ اپنے عشق آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما، اللہ ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما، روئے روئے سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما، ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی اپنی محبت نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما، سینوں کو صاف فرما، دلوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما. یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمیں بھی اس آیت کا مصداق بنا دیجئے، والذین آمنوا اشد حبا للہ، کہ جو ایمان والے ہیں وہ اللہ سے شدید تر محبت کرتے ہیں. اللہ ہمیں بھی اپنے ساتھ ایسی محبت نصیب فرما, محبت میں شدت عطا فرما, رسوخ نصیب فرما, اللہ دوام عطا فرما, یکسوئی نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم رحمتوں کے ساتھ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. اللہ گناہ سے ہم بچنا چاہتے ہیں, اللہ ہماری حفاظت فرما. اللہ جس طرح آپ نے آسمان کو زمین پر گرنے سے روک دیا, اللہ اس طرح اللہ نفس و شیطان کو ہم پر گرنے سے روک دیجئے, اللہ گناہوں کو ہم پر آنے سے روک دیجئے, اللہ ہمیں گناہوں سے بچا لیجئے. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ ہم نے دنیا میں دیکھا جو انسان زمین کے اندر مٹی کے دلدل میں پھنسا ہوتا ہے, وہ نکلنا بھی چاہے وہ نکل نہیں پاتا, جتنا زور لگاتا ہے اتنا نیچے دھستا چلا جاتا ہے. اللہ ہم بھی گناہوں کی مٹی میں, اللہ گناہوں کے دلدل میں پھنسے ہوئے ہیں, اللہ جتنا زور لگاتے ہیں اللہ اتنا اور نیچے گرتے چلے جاتے ہیں. اللہ ہماری مثال تو ایسی ہے, ایک قدم آگے بڑھتے ہیں دو قدم پیچھے پھسل جاتے ہیں. اللہ اس سلسلے کو روک دیجئے. یا رب کریم ہمیں اپنا قرب عطا فرما دیجئے, اللہ اپنی محبت عطا فرما دیجئے, اللہ اپنے مقربین بندوں میں شامل فرما. اللہ بچہ چلتا چلتے تھک جاتا ہے, اللہ باپ کی طرف دیکھتا ہے, باپ خود بھی تھکا ہوتا ہے لیکن باپ بچے کو گود میں اٹھا لیتا ہے, باقی سفر خود طے کرا دیتا ہے. اللہ ہم بھی نفس و شیطان کے خلاف چلتے چلتے تھک چکے, ٹھوکریں کھاتے کھاتے تھک چکے, اللہ گرتے گرتے تھک چکے. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ آپ کو پکارتے ہیں, آپ کی رحمت کو پکارتے ہیں. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ اپنی رحمت سے یا اللہ ہمیں اپنے مقرب بندوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے, ہماری حفاظت فرما دیجئے, اپنے توابین بندوں میں شامل فرما, متقین محسنین بندوں میں شامل فرما. یا رب کریم, اپنے صابرین شاکرین ذاکرین بندوں میں شامل فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ ہمارے اندر سے اللہ جو بھی نفاق ہے اس کو دور فرما, دو رنگی کو ختم فرما, اللہ ریاکاری بناوٹ کو ختم فرما, اخلاص والی زندگی عطا فرما. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ ہماری اللہ اس توبہ کو قبول فرما لیجئے. اللہ آئندہ کے لیے نیکی اور تقوی والی زندگی نصیب فرما. اللہ جو تقوی والی زندگی گزارتے ہیں اللہ وہ تو آپ کی دی ہوئی توفیق ہے. اللہ ایسے ایسے لوگ بھی امت میں گزرے ہیں کہ 20-20 سال گزر جاتے ہیں اور گناہ لکھنے والے فرشتے کو کوئی گناہ لکھنے کا موقع نہیں ملتا. اللہ یہ تو آپ کی دی ہوئی توفیق ہے. یا رب کریم, اپنی رحمت سے ہمیں بھی ایسی توفیق عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ گناہوں کی کراہت ہمیں عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ جس طرح ہمارا دل دنیا کے اندر اٹک کر رہتا ہے, اللہ ہم چاہیں بھی تو دنیا سے اپنا دل ہٹا نہیں پاتے, ہر طرف دنیا کی فکر اور خیالات رہتے ہیں. اللہ بالکل اسی طریقے سے یہ اللہ ہمیں اپنی یاد نصیب فرما دیجئے کہ یہ اللہ ہم اپنی دل کو کہیں اور ہٹانا چاہیں بھی تو ہٹ نہ سکے. یا رب کریم, اپنے ذکر والی زندگی نصیب فرما, اپنی یاد کو ہمارے سینوں کے اندر پیوست فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم, ہم آپ کو بھولنا چاہیں بھی تو بھول نہ سکیں, بھلانا چاہیں بھی تو بھلا نہ سکے, اپنا خیال ہٹانا چاہیں بھی تو ہٹا نہ سکے. ہمارے کام ہاتھ کاج, ہمارے ہاتھ جو ہیں کام کاج میں مصروف ہوں, دنیا میں مصروف ہوں, اور دل اللہ اللہ آپ کی یاد میں مصروف ہوں. یا رب کریم, یا اللہ ہمارے دل کو ذاکر بنا دیجئے, اللہ دل کو منیب بنا دیجئے, دل کو منور فرما دیجئے. اللہ دل کی سختی کو دور فرما, ظلمت کو دور فرما, اندھیرے کو دور فرما. اللہ دل کے اوپر جو زنگ ہے اس کو دور فرما. اللہ دل کو پاکیزہ فرما. اللہ آپ مقلب القلوب ہیں, اللہ دلوں کو اپنی محبت کی طرف بدل دیجئے, پھیر دیجئے. یا مقلب القلوب قلب قلوبنا علی دینک, یا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا علی اطاعتک. یا اللہ اپنی اطاعت اور عبادت کی طرف ہمارے دلوں کو پھیر دیجئے. یا رب کریم, جو مانگا ہے اللہ وہ بھی نصیب فرما, جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے اللہ بن مانگے نصیب فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.